Hey, good to see you this morning, and I'm glad you're here in the house of the Lord. We're going to continue our series and some lessons that we need to learn in life and lessons that will take us deeper into our walk with the Lord. And so let's go to Acts chapter 1. And Brother Peoples, you did a great job last week, so if I do like that, that means I'm going to cough. You can cut me off and back, all right? I'm better, but I'm not there yet. Like Dr. Barber, I guess. You know, that stuff just hangs on, doesn't it? It's just that way. That cough, anyway. Acts chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. And today we want to talk about the power to witness. And that's something we all struggle with. All of us struggle with that from time to time, is being consistent in our witness and being powerful in our witness and telling others about Christ. All of us have special events in our lives that we go back to and we think, man, that was a wonderful, exciting time. Maybe when you got married. I remember one time when the church that our pastor in Indiana gave us on our 25th anniversary, they gave us a trip to Hawaii. All expense paid. That was exciting. I hadn't forgotten that trip. That's the kind of trips I like to have. But in case any of you rich people, no, never mind. But at any rate, we enjoyed that. And I have some pictures. And every once in a while, I'll look at them and say, boy, that was great. That's when I was skinny. And we enjoyed the eating over there without feeling guilty, all of that. But I can remember another trip that I really couldn't believe I got to take when I went to Israel. I got to go to Israel. And I remember my first trip to Israel. Dr. Barber, I'm sure you and Ms. Barber remember your first trip over to Israel. What an exciting time. And you think, man, I'm actually walking where at points where Jesus walked and seeing the things that the Bible talks about. And that was such a blessing to me. To be able to do that. But you know, the greatest experience I ever had was when I was 9 years old, and you know where I'm going with that. That's when I got saved. And I got saved at a little country church. God does not despise little things, amen? 60 or 70 people coming to that church, faithful pastor who preached the gospel, and a revival evangelist who preached, and I got saved that night. That's the greatest event that ever took place in my life, bar none. And I'm sure most of you feel the same way about it, that it's the greatest event in your life. And we know that God has given us the challenge to go out and share that event, what happened to us, with other people. Not just keep it inside, but go share it with other people. Whenever ladies go shopping and they get a bargain, they find shoes or dress or something like that, and they'll call somebody else or talk to their daughter or daughter-in-law and say, this is the dress I got, and you won't believe what I paid for it. And men are just as bad. They'll say, I went to a yard sale, and you wouldn't believe the set of golf clubs I got, and I only paid $25 for them. They were worth $300 and all of that. We are glad to tell about those things like that in our lives, but we need to tell about Jesus. We need to be excited to share Jesus, not just bargains we get, not just some of those other things, to be very practical about it, but be excited to share these things. And remember what Christ's last command was. Now let's go to Acts 1 and start with verse 2. Just be reminded of that. This was a former treatise that I've made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive. I like that part, don't you? Showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And they didn't have to pray through to get that. That was a promise that was made to them. So when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? They were hoping that he'd restore the kingdom. He said unto them, it's not for you to know the times of the season, which the Father hath put in his own power. Now here's what he wanted them to hear. That's not the main thing right now about the kingdom. And here's what I want you to hear. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. You'll receive power and you're to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and he threw in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This was a commission and the command that God was giving to the apostles in that day. And we are to be like them. We are to be witnesses. That's what he expects us to be. That's what he wants us to be. So I think that he teaches us that we should be bold. I know sometimes our temperament's not that way, and we would rather just not confront people. But he says that boldness comes with that, the power of the Holy Spirit. Boldness and consistency. Not just doing it once or twice a year, but daily, watching for opportunities all the time, week after week, month after month, year after year. So Roman numeral 1 in your outline, the power to receive. He gave the power to receive. Now look at verse 7 again. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons which your Father hath put in his own power. His own power. That's the Greek word exousia. And that word is really talking about authority. So he's given you the authority. The Father hath put in his own power the authority. So that's one word that is used concerning power. But then the other one in verse 8 is the word dunamis. But ye shall receive power. Exousia, authority, dunamis, power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And why? So you can be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and all these other places. And so in 2 Timothy 1:7 he said, for God hath not given us the spirit, the attitude of fear, but of dunamis, power, power, and of love and of a sound mind. So God's given us power. And that's that word dunamis, or like dynamite. It's used the same way in 2 Timothy 1:7. A lot of times we think of dynamite more as something that's going to blow things up, destructive, and that it's to tear things all to pieces. And we've seen, no doubt, many movies and TV programs where they use the dynamite to get out of a mess or something of that nature. But it also, the whole idea here is not destructive power, but power to do something good. And so it is the power that God gives us. In other words, power during a storm, a calmness that he gives us. It has the power to give us a calmness in the storm. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able, and that is that word dunamis right there in the Greek language, which is able, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. So it has power, it has enablement, special enablement in order to receive salvation. And so that's what he's talking about in using that word. And you think of the word enablement. He enables us. He tells us to do it, and he gives us the authority to do it, and then he enables us to do it. He's not going to leave us out there on a limb without enabling us to do it. You shall receive, you could read that verse 8, you shall receive enablement after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive that. Acts 1:7, the one who has the authority, Acts 1:8, enablement to witness. So, A, he enables us with favor. He enables us with favor. It's good to gain favor with people without compromising, maybe your neighbors, and you can do some things for them that you would not be expected to do. You can help them out and do some things for them. And that enables you to get a right to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. But many times the Lord allows certain things, opportunities for you, so that he can get you in good with those people, so that they'll think highly of you, or at least have a respect for you. And Genesis 39:21 is a biblical example. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him what? Favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Exodus 11:3. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And that took the grace of God to do that, but he gave them favor. And Moses was very great in the land of Egypt. Why? God gave him favor with them. In Daniel 1:9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. So you get the idea. God gives us enablement to gain favor with others. And we shouldn't be too proud of our gifts. God gives them to us, but he gives them to us to be used for his glory. And that's what he wants us to do. So he enables us with favor, and then he enables us with boldness. When you witness, always remember that God is with you. When you speak up for God, don't you think he's going to be with you? Well, we know he promises us in his word that that's going to be the truth about it. Now, you're thinking, well, I don't know about this boldness, and I'm a little reluctant. But you go ahead and witness and start witnessing, and you'll be surprised at what verses God calls to your mind and to your heart as you try to witness to somebody. In other words, God's with you. God is there to give you that boldness in spite of any weakness you may have. You may have some kind of weakness in your temperament or whatever, and you're thinking, God can't use me, but he can. But our enablement should be the boldness that we know he's going to give us. He's going to help us out. And we all had to start somewhere and get to the place where it was perhaps easier to do. But then he enables us with compassion. And he puts in our hearts, if we allow him to do it, a first love for others, compassion that we have, love for others, especially we ought to have broken hearts for people who are unsaved. When we think of them, we think of the fact they could die and go to hell and spend eternity without Christ. People you know, people who are relatives, people you work with, people that live all around you. But he enables us to love them. Pray and ask God, if you're having a problem with that, God, make me have a compassionate, broken heart for the lost. Pray that often, that he'd renew that. Roman numeral 2, the plan God has set. You see, God wants to use us. Let's put it more personal. God wants to use you. Don't look at your husband. Don't look at your wife. Don't look at your neighbor. Look at yourself. We need to look in the mirror. God wants to use you. You. No matter what anybody else does, God wants to use you. So, A, what makes you a good witness? The Greek word for witness there is martus, M-A-R-T-U-S. And we get our word martyr from that. And basically, what it is, those who died and who are willing to be a martyr, they had something within them they knew was true. And because of that experience they had, they were willing to be martyrs. And so we should be willing to, because of our experience and knowledge. What's that experience and knowledge, preacher? Well, it's the knowledge that the day you got saved, that you knew Christ moved in, forgave you of your sins, and you're a born-again believer. And you know that. That was your experience with the Lord as you trusted the Word of God. And so we have experiential knowledge, and we ought to share that. And you can just start out like, let me tell you about the greatest day in my life. Let me tell you about the greatest thing that ever happened to me. That's what I did up front, just doing that. You can get into a conversation, and you don't have to get wild-eyed and spooky-looking. You can just say, let me tell you about the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life. So what makes you a good witness is that experiential knowledge. And B, what hinders your witness? Well, one thing might be that we're not as grateful for our salvation as we should be. We get away from that. We get to the place, it's almost like, yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. Ho hum. It shouldn't be that way. We should be excited about it. And sometimes it would do us good to pause and meditate and just remember what God has done for us. I'm glad I'm going to heaven, aren't you? We ought to want, don't forget what took place in your heart and want to share that with other people. They can have the joy of knowing for sure that they're going to heaven. And so there are some potential barriers, I think. And one of them is ask yourself this question. When's the last time I meditated about that? Really thought through it again. And then when did I last feel amazed because of the fact that I was on my way to heaven and not on my way to hell? Thank God that we're saved. Sorry, missed it. Roman numeral 3, the place God has chosen. The place God has chosen for us to witness. That's pretty broad. Look at verse 8 again. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. You'll receive that authority and that enablement. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, where they were, and in all Judea, spread out in that territory. In Samaria, that was a little different there, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. To the very uttermost part of the earth. Now, he inserted Samaria in there because Samaria was one place that the Jews did not want to go. They didn't want to go there. It wasn't convenient to go there. They had a sort of a prejudiced attitude about going there. Someone has mentioned this as something that might prove to us that we're not as willing to witness as we should. Because what happened here when he's talking about Samaria is sort of a type of, is there any place you would not go to witness for the Lord? Any people you would not tell about the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember John 3:16, for God so loved just America? Or for God so loved just us and ours? No. For God so loved the what? World. The whole world, all the people of the world. And so he loved us so much, loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. So it's the whole world. And we need to leave our comfort zone, wherever that is, go out into the world and tell them about Christ. And I can tell you this, you don't need to be afraid, because if you're in the center, let's say, of God's will, that's the best place in the world to be. I've gone into some places, quite frankly, I was scared to go into. But I had a peace in my heart that God was with me. I thought if they kill me, I go into heaven. If they don't, they might get saved. And that's pretty reasonable thinking about the Word of God. A, in your outline there under that, serve faithfully where God has called you to be. Serve faithfully where God has called you to be. This has the broad idea of surrendering for full-time service, but also anywhere. And when God makes known your will, well, he's made known his will to us, that he wants us to witness all over the world, anywhere we can. And that's important. Important that we do that. Now, wherever you are, be a witness there. Witness on the way. Look for opportunities to witness. You go on vacation, grab you a bunch of tracks. You stop and get gas, witness to them. You stop and eat, witness to them. You stop and whatever you're checking in the hotel, witness to them. And you say, are you serious? Yeah, I'm serious. That's what God said anywhere we are. Even if we're in Kentucky, hey, we can still witness, amen? Or Louisiana, I might pick on my own home state where I was raised. But don't doubt his leading. Satan will tell you you're not really in God's will. Forget that lie that he tells you. And then Satan will tell you God can't really use you. He can use Brother Weaver and Dr. Barber and others, but he can't use me. He can't use you. Oh, yes, he can. And ladies, it's not just for the men. It's for the women, too, to witness. Amen? Ladies, you can say amen. That's all right. No, you can't do that. That's a Baptist church. You can't do that, all right? So Satan will tell you, you're looking awful somber at me right now. It scares me to death when you do that. Satan will tell you God can't really use you, but I'm telling you, we have the power, Acts 1:8, the enablement to do it. Satan will also tell you that you're not even saved. Are you sure you're saved? One of the greatest witnesses I ever knew in my life was Ms. Eva Cook. You'd be shocked to know that she struggled with security of the believer. And a lot of times she would come forward and say, Pastor, I just don't know. I think I'm saved, but I don't know. Well, why do you think Satan would fight her? Well, because she was such a faithful witness, and he would want to discourage her, because if you can't have that confidence that you're really born again, then how are you going to tell others how to be saved? And we'd talk, she'd get over it, and then she'd go witness and probably witness to so many hundreds of people, more than we ever dreamed of. And no doubt she's already met some of them up there in heaven. John 10:27-29, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. 1 John 5:13, these things are written unto you that have believed on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. The scriptures tell us that. And so another thing we can do, be in your outline, is support those who serve where you cannot go. Support those who serve where you cannot go. So pray for missionaries. Pray for more missionaries. Pray for the missionaries that are on the field. You can support them financially. You can write them a letter, an email, encourage them. That helps missionaries. They're over there in a foreign culture. And I've gone in some of those for maybe 2 weeks, and I'm like, man, let me get back home, you know, and everything is different. And no conveniences in any way, it seems, sometimes. But what about these missionaries? So we can encourage them. May not seem like a great deal to you, but it may be that letter that you send or that email that keeps them from getting so discouraged that they quit and come home. Many testimonies to that. So here's what we're saying. I think what we want to take home with us today is God gives us power to witness, exousia, and dynamite, the power, the ability to tell others about Christ. And then rely on the Holy Spirit's leading. Pray about it. Ask God to lead you to people. Ask Him, please, lead me to someone today and save that soul through me. Help me, Lord. And then thirdly, be determined to advance the gospel wherever you go. Advance it around the world. Wherever you are, do what you can to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that'll be the right thing. Father, help us, our nature and the enemy, Satan, the demons of hell, they do not want us to witness. And yet you've told us you're with us. You give us the power, the enablement to tell others about Jesus Christ. Help us to remember what you've done for us and to be willing to tell others about Christ, to be faithful witnesses. In His name we pray. Amen.